The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So I have a question to start out the day with, and I didn't know I was going to do this, which is never a good idea. You probably shouldn't decide that, like, you know, in the going up process. But has anybody in here ever been really, really tired? I mean, like, just exhausted, tired? All right, so I have a confession to make. How many of you guys are angry, tired people? Any angry, like, when you get tired, you get, yeah, thank you. Okay, good. I didn't want to throw her under the bus, but I'm glad she did it willingly. There's some of us, when we get tired, we get angry. Like, just everything is irritable. How many of y'all are silly tired? Anybody? Yes, you are. Absolutely. Any silly tired? So I have this confession. When I was a kid, I didn't just go over to a lot of people's houses. Like, my parents were kind of a little bit more strict, like who I could go and where I could go and stuff like that. But I had one friend, and I don't know why, for the life of me, my parents trusted this one friend. His name was Garrett, and we would go over to Garrett's house, and there was this one time where it was my friend Garrett and my other friend Matt Maston. We were all at Garrett's house together spending the night, but we weren't spending the night. Miles, like, for your birthday, we're going to stay up late, and like, we're going to do late night stuff. And so we were sitting there, and we were up all night long, and at some point in time, it was right after the 4th of July. So we had these smoke bombs, and we're like, we're going to do something fun with these. We didn't know what it was. I mean, like, we would do all kinds of ridiculous things because it was late at night and none of us really were thinking properly. But all of a sudden, we were sitting there, and my friend Matt got a pair of swimming goggles, and he put on these swimming goggles. And so I'm thinking, we're going to go outside. We're going to, like, you know, smoke bomb fight or something like that. And the next thing I know is I walk out of Garrett's room as Matt has lit these two smoke bombs inside Garrett's house and is running through the house like an airplane pilot with his swimming goggles on, which to me seemed like a great idea. So I joined in with him. And so I have my two smoke bombs and we're following each other around the house. Still don't know where Garrett is. And we found out Garrett was in the other room on the phone with his parents, because his parents weren't there at the time, which was a terrible idea too. But anyways, we bust up in the room and we look at Garrett, and he just gets this, like, panicked look on his face, because then we realized afterwards, smoke bombs leave a distinct smell. That smell doesn't come out of a house very easily. And so we spent the rest of the night trying to figure out how we're going to get this smell of smoke bomb out of Garrett's house before his parents got home. Now, you say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? It's my way of telling you that I make terrible decisions when I get tired. Like, when I don't get sleep, like, my brain does not function properly whatsoever at all, because that seemed like a perfectly reasonable idea of what we should do with smoke bombs inside Garrett's house. Another night at Garrett's house, we, again, staying up late, and we decided it would be a good idea to go buy a drink from the gas station. Seemed like a good idea. We then also were thinking through, like, we should put pantyhose over our faces and go buy a drink with pantyhose over our faces. It would be hilarious. We thought it was priceless. The convenience store clerk did not, however, and we were in big trouble that night. But at night, when I don't get sleep, I make terrible, terrible decisions. When I get tired, like, my brain just doesn't function properly, and it causes me to make some really, really foolish and dumb decisions. And this morning, I was thinking about this week. Miss Bonnie and I were talking, and it was just the kind of week where it just seemed like everybody was tired. I don't know if that's you this morning or not, but, like, have you ever just been, like, just tired? Like, just everything, man. Like, life is piled up, and there's this, and there's that, and there's sickness, and there's death, and there's the economy, and there's gas prices, and there's the 105 degree heat outside, and, like, everything just piles on. And honestly, you're just exhausted. You're just tired. Or you've been coming to church and you've been coming to church week after week after month after year, and you've been sitting and you've been singing and you've been worshiping and you've been listening and you've been doing all this stuff, but it doesn't seem like things are changing. And you're just tired. You're exhausted. You're exhausted from church. You're exhausted from life. You're just exhausted in everything. And this morning, if that's maybe you, or if you've ever been there, I wanted to challenge you with something from Scripture today that may not seem like it's normal, but I think it is vitally important to our life. That's the idea to just pause. To pause for a moment. And there's a couple reasons that when we do that, let me ask this. How many of you guys fall asleep with some kind of noise, music? Anybody? It was The Office for years. I used to fall asleep watching The Office every night. And then it became Friends when I married Kelsey because she fell asleep to Friends every night. And then now both of those shows are off TV, and I don't know what, I think actually she falls asleep on her own. But I have earbuds that I have to put in. And I fall asleep with earbuds in watching usually like some true crime documentary where people are like breaking into houses, which is again a great idea at 11:30 at night to be watching that. I make terrible decisions when I get tired. But the reason that I have such a hard time falling asleep is because when I sit still, when I lay in bed, every thought, everything I was supposed to think about, everything that like should have thought about, was thinking about, whatever, during the day, but I've been able to keep it out of my mind just by staying busy, comes flooding into my mind at night. And so I turn on music, I turn on something to drown that out because I cannot stand silence. Because silence makes me think about things. It makes me realize things. It causes me to be in a position where I'm uncomfortable, I'm vulnerable, and I have to think, I have to decide, I have to figure this out. And the last time I want to do that is when I'm trying to go to bed. But I think this morning we're going to look at this idea of pause. And as we look at this idea of pause, I think there's three reasons we need to pause. And we're going to look at them this morning just real quickly. But what I want to challenge you with and what I want to tell you with is this. God wants you to pause sometimes. Sometimes you are so exhausted, so beat, so tired that you're not making good decisions. And those good decisions don't necessarily look like sin. It just may be that you're not making the best decision. Those good decisions don't necessarily look like you're doing something wrong in life, but you're not living the absolute best life that God has for you because you're too stinking tired to even realize it. And so this morning, I want to give you permission. Like, this isn't permission to fall asleep, but this is permission just to pause, to take a breath and just listen. Relax. Get some rest. The first time I think that we see this in Scripture, or maybe not the first time, but the first time I think it's a good idea to pause is to pause and reflect on God's goodness. In Isaiah chapter 23, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." Y'all ever get exhausted from trying to fix everything? Anybody that person? Everything has to be like just right before you. My mom is a great example of this. My mom is like, she'll be leaving to go on vacation and she'll be up till 3 o'clock in the morning, the night before she leaves to go on vacation, making sure the house is clean. When I was a kid, I was like, "Mom, why do we do that? What happens if we get in a wreck and somebody comes home to a dirty house?" Who cares? If we get in a wreck, like, that's the last thing people are worried about is what condition our house was in. But like, she was that person who like, she would just exhaust herself trying to make sure that everything was just right. That it was perfect. Y'all ever like keep yourself up planning stuff? Like, you want to have everything planned, and every instance has to be planned out. It has to be detailed. There has to be a plan, and a plan B, and a plan C, and a plan D, and a plan F. And in case all those plans fall through, you have to have a plan G. In every single situation and thing that comes along in life, you've already planned and prepared for. It gets exhausting. It's wearing, man. It tears you down. What about this? Anybody ever worry? Yeah. Anybody get exhausted from worrying? And you end up worrying about things that may not even ever happen, but what if they do? And so what you do is you allow your mind to go down this side trail, and then it goes down this side trail, and then it goes down this side trail, and all of a sudden you're way over here worrying about something that has absolutely no context whatsoever at all in your life, but somehow if all these chips fall just right, this could be a possibility, and so I'm worried about this. Man, it's a long way from where you are. But we exhaust ourselves worrying, we exhaust ourselves planning, we exhaust ourselves thinking and trying to make sure that every situation in life that we come across is under our control. Can I spoiler alert you this morning and just break your hearts? You'll never plan enough. You'll never prepare enough. You'll never worry enough because life has this thing that's called unexpecteds. In other words, it's the thing that we never thought would ever happen. It's this one thing that we could never plan, we could never prepare for. That's why it's unexpected. And the truth of the matter is, regardless of how well you plan, how well you purpose, how well you provide, you take care of, you set up, you worry, you have all your contingency plans upon contingency plans upon contingency plans, unexpected means that it wasn't ever planned for. This was something we never saw coming. And life is full of those. And what Isaiah tells you here is, listen, God is going to keep you in perfect peace. In other words, he's going to give you peace when you trust in him. A lot of us, I think, exhaust ourselves. We exhaust our minds. We exhaust our hearts. We exhaust ourselves spiritually, worrying, planning, preparing, doing all these things, which there's nothing wrong in and of itself about those things. But a lot of times we do all that trying to avoid what is inevitably going to happen, and there's nothing we can do to change that. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to trust in God. And when we reflect on God's goodness, and that's why we pause, is to reflect on everything that God has done, what God has brought us through. What does that do for us? Well, gives us confidence to know, hey, listen, if something comes along that's outside of what I've planned for, I know God. I know who God is, and I know what God does, and I know that God is a good God who loves me, and therefore, if something comes along outside, there's a reason, there's a purpose, and my trust, my faith can be in him. That's what he says here. He says, trust in the Lord forever. The Lord himself is a rock eternal. You experience perfect peace. Your mind experiences perfect peace when you trust in the Lord. Later on in the book of Psalms, David writes all these different Psalms, and they're all there, I think, in your notes, but I just want to read over them real quick. Truly my soul finds rest in my God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they've done. It's not in our ability to plan. It's not in our ability to figure everything out. But our trust and our peace comes from Christ and Christ alone. He's our hope. He's our salvation. He's our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our fortress. Pausing helps us remember that God is in control. He's loving and he's just. Some of y'all men just need to pause and reflect on God's goodness. You have been planning and planning and planning into the point of exhaustion, and you are wiped out preparing for something that you have no control whatsoever over. This morning, I want to tell you that God wants to encourage you just to pause. Reflect on what he's done, and it's going to give you confidence for what he's doing in your life now. A second reason I think that we need to pause is this. We need to pause to listen for God's voice. Have you ever, like, been exhausted and tried to listen to something really important? Like, For those of you who don't know this about me, I'm not an early morning person. I'm usually like better late at night than I am early in the morning. And it always cracks me up because some people will call me early in the morning. And by early, I mean like 7:30 or 8, which I know some of y'all was like, that's midday. I know. I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. But like, they'll call me at like 7:30 or 8 and they'll start telling me something really, really important. And my mind is trying to catch up and I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to listen. What do they have to say? But it's just not there yet because I'm still kind of like in that sleepy wake up. I'm sleepy John. I'm not quite my best John yet. And sometimes when we get exhausted and we try to pay attention to things, we miss very important details. Some of y'all have exhausted yourself. And you're waiting and you're listening for God's voice and you want to hear God's voice so bad. But the problem is when God talks to you, you're so exhausted that you can't clearly hear what he's saying. Because you're so exhausted. You're so beat and you're so tired that when God starts to speak to you, when God says anything into your life, when you read a scripture, when you hear something like a song or something like that, it clicks and you want to make the connection and you want to see how this matters to me and how God is speaking to me through this. But the truth of the matter is your heart, your mind, and your body and your soul are so tired. It can't make any sense of that. Job is a remarkable story, the book of Job. But Job has this passage that is crazy to me. It's chapter 33, verses 14 through 17. He said, "For God speaks again and again, though people don't recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride." I think Job uses something that's unique. He gets us when we're at our most vulnerable, right? When you're in your deep sleep, you're in your good rest. I'm not a sleep doctor, but like there's RPMs is not sleep. That's REMs. There we go. Sorry, RPMs is what you rev on a motorcycle. Sorry, REM is what happens when you sleep, and I don't know how all that works, and I don't know the process of like your eyes are supposed to blink or something like that. But when you're at your most deep sleep, Job says that's when God wants to come and talk to you. That's when God wants to whisper in your life. That's when God wants to invest in your life. When you're at your most restful state is when God wants to choose to speak to you. And you say, well, how does God speak to me at that moment? There's this great story in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, the prophet Elijah. And we're going to look at the whole story today in some point in time. But the prophet Elijah in verses 9 through 14, but I think I've just got a couple of them there. I'm going to read the whole thing. It says this, "But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And Elijah replied, 'I have zealously served you, Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars. They've killed every one of your prophets, and I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. Go and stand before me on the mountain,' the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by with a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, and it was so terrible that the blast of rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After wind, there was a great earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" It's crazy because before this, Elijah heard or watched God come down in a like pillar of fire and consume all the stuff on the altar, right? Elijah and the prophets of Baal, that's already happened. So God can be in the firestorm. God can be in the great mighty winds. God can be in the earthquake. But when Elijah needs him the absolute most, when he is at his most desperate moment in his life, God doesn't choose the firestorm. God doesn't choose the earthquake. God doesn't choose all those things which he could speak to Elijah through to talk to him. Instead, scripture says he uses a gentle whisper. Now, I told you guys this earlier. I hate shutting my mind off because when I shut my mind off, then I have to think about all these different things. And so I just want to kind of like have my mind be numbed? Y'all ever like want to be so busy that you don't want to focus on what's going on? You ever want to like, listen, if I can just keep going, if I can just keep going, if I can just keep going, then I won't have to listen. I won't have to think. I won't have to slow down. I won't have to hear what this is all about. We were talking this week about people who, different ways people grieve. Anybody ever met somebody who grieves and the way they grieve is by working? It strikes me around funerals because you always meet different families and stuff at funerals. And there's always at least one or two people at a funeral who will do this. They're working. Everybody else is crying. They're sad. They're mourning. They're lost. But there's always one person who's working. And no one else in the family can understand why that person won't just sit down, calm down, and grieve like the rest of us. It's because that person needs to distract their mind. Because what's going on, the pain, what they're really feeling on the inside needs to be calmed down. And so what they do is they keep themselves busy until all of a sudden they can't keep themselves busy anymore. And they sit down and they have that moment where they grieve, but it's different from everybody else. See, I think the reason God talks to Elijah in this quiet, gentle voice is this. Because sometimes God needs us to pause, to rest, to be quiet, so we can hear a small voice. He knows that there's enough voices in our mind. There's enough noises going on all around you. Listen, how many of y'all have a cell phone with you this morning? How many of you know the sound of your cell phone? How many of you guys know the vibration of your cell phone? Huh? Anybody ever have that? Or you hear it, zzz, zzz, zzz. Oh, that's my phone. That's not Kelsey's phone. I know that vibration. It's mine. And it's amazing how many noises we have flooding your minds constantly. Anybody got the Apple Watch? Bing, bing. And you don't even have to look at your phone. You can just do this real quick. It's noises. It's things that are constantly pressing in on you, pressing in on you, pressing in on you, and they become exhausting. And so the reason God needs us to pause, to rest, to hear his voice is because sometimes in a very busy, noisy world, God wants to speak to us in a real small voice so that we don't confuse it with anybody else's. If God spoke to you through blaring loud music, or if God spoke to you through a mighty earthquake or a thunder or a firestorm, you could confuse it with somebody else's voice and you would think that it was just white noise from someplace out in the world that was being pushed in on you. And so when God comes and during this restful moment, he wants you to know that it's you and him. And he's got something he needs to tell you. Sometimes we need to pause. We need to rest so we can hear God's voice. Other times we need to pause. We need to rest for what's ahead of us. I told you we were going to finish the story in 1 Kings. And then 1 Kings, the story starts like this. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including how he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you. You are just as you killed them. Sorry. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba in a town of Judah and left his servant there. Then he went on ahead into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." But he laid down and he slept under the broom tree. He was sleeping. An angel touched him and told him, "Get up, eat." He looked around and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down again. Then the angel came again and touched him and said, "Get up, eat some more, for the journey ahead of you will be too much for you." So he got up, he ate, he drank. The food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. When he came to the cave, he spent the night there. Now, if you're following along, you know that what happens is this is the precursor to what we just read. after this is when God speaks to Elijah in the still, quiet, small voice. But before that, you have this such an intriguing passage to me. Elijah says, I'm done. God, I've tried. I've been faithful. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. God, I've followed you with so much zeal, with so much passion. God, I was at that church every single time the doors were open. God, I've been there. I've done everything I know to do. And I'm done. I've had enough. Life's not even worth going on anymore. And he prays. He says, God, I pray that you would take my life. Now, we know that God hears his prayers. How do we know that God hears his prayers? Well, because remember back when he prayed and the fire came down from heaven. So God hears his prayers. God is capable of taking the life of anybody he wants at any point in time. And Elijah has already seen that. But instead of God taking his life, then what does he do? He has him fall asleep. He sends an angel to prepare a meal for him. He says, Elijah, listen, I know you're exhausted. I know you're tired. I know you've had enough. I know you're beat. But there's one more thing I still need you to do. Elijah, there's one more job that only you can do. And I need you to do it. And I need you to be at your absolute best. So I need you to rest, because what's coming ahead of you is not easy. It's difficult. And I need you to do it. What happens after this is Elijah actually hears from God on the mountain through the gentle voice. God tells him he needs to go and he needs to appoint this person king over the northern kingdom. He needs to appoint this person king over the southern kingdom. And he needs to ordain a man named Elisha as the new prophet to the kings. So Elijah hears the word from the Lord. He goes and he does what God tells him to do. Then after he is anointed Elijah, the next guy, prophet, what happens to Elijah? Gets taken up to heaven. Isn't it interesting? I wonder if Elijah, in the whole process of this, said, God, when I prayed this years ago, when I prayed this months ago, God, when I was at my very lowest, when I was exhausted, I was done, and I had nothing left to give, why didn't you take me then? God said, because I had one more thing I needed you to do. I had one more thing. You weren't done yet, Elijah. And what I needed you to do was so important that only you could do it. So I need you to get some rest. I read a thing today, this week on Facebook, and somebody said, it's amazing what God can do through a snack and a nap. Some of y'all need to have a snack and a nap. You need to get some rest, because what God's got ahead of you is remarkable. And listen, church, if I could have a private conversation with each and every single one of you this morning, I would. He needs you to do it. I know you're tired. I know you're exhausted. I know you've been through the ringer. I know you are worn out and you're just done. But there's one thing. Nobody else can do it. He needs you to do it. There's one family member, there's one neighbor, there's one person, there's some job, there's something that he needs you to do. And what he needs you to do is he needs you to get some rest, to eat a meal, to just pause for a moment, because what he has ahead of you, he needs you to do. There's this other passage in scripture that's kind of funny, where you find two sisters. It's in Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42, and we all know Martha and Mary. They're Jesus' closest friends. The story goes like this. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha had opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about so many things, but very few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You hear this story and it's like, what does that have to do? Mary's lazy. Cool. I did some reading this week to try and figure out where this happened. Because like if you read the Gospels, you realize that like Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all kind of mirror each other. And then there's John that's over here who he gives you all kinds of completely different information than Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. And so there's not like this like linear timeline where like the Gospels just necessarily line up. And so I was trying to figure out, when does this happen? And everybody said that most likely this happened in the fall before the spring of the crucifixion. 6 months before Jesus is crucified. 3 to 4 months before their brother Lazarus dies and Jesus resurrects him from the dead. Roughly 6 months before this same Mary takes a very expensive jar of perfume, breaks it over Jesus' head and washes his feet with her hair. 6 months. See what Martha was saying, and listen, Martha gets a bad rap, but did anybody catch this in verse number 40? They were all preparations that had to be made. This had to be done. There were people here. Things needed to be done. Someone had to do them. This was something that had to be done. I love that scripture says that because a lot of times we think, well, Martha was just she was a busybody. No, she was doing what needed to be done. But God also knew the road that was ahead of Martha and Mary. He knew what he needed Mary to do for him. He knew that Mary was going to be the one who was going to anoint him before he was dead for his burial. He knew the trouble, the difficulty that was going to come when Lazarus died and people wanted answers for how he died. He was dead 3 days and then he came back from the dead. How did all that happen? Jesus knew all those things were going to happen and he knew the road that was ahead of Martha and Mary. And so when Martha comes to him and is like, Jesus, you got to get her. She's not working. He says, listen. She's resting because the road she has is tough. What's coming ahead, the stuff that's going to happen in the next 6 months, you're not ready for. And if you're not ready for it, it's going to be bad. But if you just sit and you rest and you prepare here, you're going to be confident. You're going to be, she's going to be willing to sacrifice that very expensive jar of perfume. They're going to be able to go and tell people, hey, listen, our brother Lazarus, he was dead for 3 days, but he came back to life because this man named Jesus, he is the resurrection. And the reason that Martha and Mary could say that was because Mary rested. She rested and she prepared for what was next. Jesus knew the road that was ahead of them was not easy. And there was a job that only they could do. And so when Martha comes to him, he says, Martha, listen, she's doing what she's supposed to do. She's resting to prepare for what's ahead. Church, I have no clue what's ahead of you. I don't know what the next 6 months hold for you. I don't know what the next year holds for you. Honestly, I don't know what the next 10 minutes hold for you. But I know this. Some of you will never make it to do what God needs you to do because you don't rest. You just keep right on plugging, just right on going, right on not listening, right on not remembering all the good things, not trusting, you're worrying, you're planning, you're doing all this other stuff. And because you're unwilling to rest, you will never get to do the good thing that God has waiting for you around the next corner. Because in the process, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get tired. You're going to quit. One more question for y'all this morning. Y'all ever know somebody who quit church? Just, I'm done. I don't want to go anymore. I'm done. A lot of times when you talk to that person, you find out why that happened. It's because they got burnt out. They did everything. They were there every time. And listen, I want you here every time the door is open. I'm not saying this is an excuse to sit out and not come to church. But because that person never rested in who God was, they got themselves burnt out. And that burnout led to anger, led towards bitterness towards the church, led to a severed relationship with God. And so they walked away and said, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. Some of y'all have had a hard week. Some of you had a hard 6 months. Some of you had a hard 10 years. This morning, my challenge for you is this. Just rest. Just take a moment. Pause life. Say, God, it's got to be me and you. God, I've got to remember all the good things you've done. God, I need to hear from you in a gentle voice this morning. God, I'm done. I can't go on another day. I need you to supply me with some rest because if I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to do what you need me to do, I need you to give me the rest I need first. As far as an invitation goes, I have no clue. I know this. Resting is not the same as standing still. Some of y'all have been resting so long that you got some rust. You're not resting, you're standing still. Resting is preparing to do something. Some of y'all need to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if God wants you to join this church. I don't know if God wants you to teach a Sunday school class. I don't know if God wants you to come down here and make a profession of faith. If God wants you to get baptized. I have no clue what God's telling you. But some of you have been sitting back and saying, well, I'm just resting. No, you're rusting. Some of you this morning have done everything. And this morning you need to just spend some time. Listen, we've got a big enough sanctuary. You find a spot where nobody else is and you just sit and talk to God. Listen, man, I'm done. I got nothing left and I need you to give me rest this morning. Take it when he gives it to you and get ready for what's next because it's going to be awesome. God, we love you. We thank you for today. Father, I thank you that you are not a God who is so caught up in work and doing and busy. God, in fact, you are a God who rested yourself. After you created the world in 6 days, you took your seventh day and you rested not because you needed to, because you knew that we would follow you one day. God, we would need to follow your example. We would need to rest. So this morning, God, I don't know what you want to do. God, personally, I'm tired. God, I'm exhausted at times, and I need you to give me rest. So, Father, I pray that you would do during this time what only you can do through your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that we're obedient to what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.